and welcome to Talking Dirty at the Library, where we'll talk about what's growing here in Athens and Limestone County, Alabama. Each podcast features Master Gardener experts discussing ways we can cultivate better gardens and better lifestyles through local gardening programs.
All right, this is Emily Clem. I am welcoming you to Talking Dirty at the Library, a podcast that we do in affiliation with the Master Gardeners. On the second Tuesday of every month during the school year, we have a program called Getting Dirty at the Library, where we have speakers come, and it's open to anybody who wants to. So 11 o'clock on second Tuesdays, you can come and hear about a gardening issue, or sometimes it's just in general about nature. We've had a lot of different things, a lot of different speakers. So if you don't make it to the program, you can always listen to the podcast. Today's program comes from the Land Trust of North Alabama, and I have three people here from the Land Trust, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell a little bit about what they do. Kate, start.
Hi, my name is Kate Gribben. I'm the recreation manager at the Land Trust, which means I am not at the office very much. I'm out on properties managing trails and trailheads throughout our 10,000 acres, and some of what I get to manage are pollinator gardens, so I get to work really closely with volunteers on those, and we have two really exciting pollinator garden projects that we're going to share about some today.
Hallie?
I'm Hallie Porter with the Land Trust. I'm the development director, and I've been there for about 13 years. I'm really passionate about what we do. Unfortunately, I spend a lot of time in the office and would prefer to be out on the trails, but I get to do that as well.
But things don't happen if those people in the office aren't making it happen.
You got it.
So you are very important.
Yes. Yep.
And Jennifer Johnson.
I'm Jennifer Johnson. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, and I'm a volunteer with the Land Trust. And my husband Keith and I are both master gardeners, and we love to volunteer at the Blevins Gap Pollinator Garden off of Cecil Ashburn.
And Jennifer's specialty is butterflies.
I love butterflies.
Yes. Okay, Hallie, tell us about the Land Trust. How did it get started?
Great. Land Trust started in 1987, really in response to the public's cry for stopping development on Montesano Mountain, which is very central to Huntsville. That was successful, and the Land Trust has now grown to cover the top 10 counties in North Alabama, stretching from Mississippi to Georgia. We've got 10,000 acres preserved, 10 open nature preserves for outdoor recreation and education. And I guess y'all have noticed the development. So we're trying to balance out the development that's happening here and preserving farmlands and forests and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. We've got a huge amount of development happening in Limestone County.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think which of the Land Trust trails I've been on. I've been to Green Mountain. I've been to Montesano. I've been to Wade Mountain. Keel Mountain, is that yours?
We have a preserve on Keel Mountain.
Okay.
Yep.
So those are some wonderful hikes, wonderful places to go for a couple of hours, not very far from anywhere in North Alabama.
Right.
Tell us about, you mentioned one on Limestone Creek. Tell me a little more about that.
Ooh, that's a great kept secret. So this is one of our properties that is not open to the public. It is actually farmed. It's got a cattle farmer on it. That was part of the agreement that we went into with the donor. What makes this property so special is that it borders Limestone Creek and has an incredible botanical area right there in the floodplain area.
Mm-hmm.
So everything from the buckeyes and the bluebells are absolutely stunning. We've got some jack in the pulpits. We've got, gosh, green jaggin.
Mayapples.
Mayapples galore. Yeah. Dutchman's britches. Jacob's ladder is phenomenal.
I think there are some Virginia bluebells there as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And you said it's going to be open on April 6th for members?
We are going to have a members hike on April 6th, so you have to be a member in order to go, and it is well worth it. Membership starts at $35 a year, goes on up from there, and that would make you eligible to attend the hike. It will fill up pretty quickly, so we anticipate the possibility of having two hikes on that day. Mm-hmm. When I say hike, it's more of a stroll. It's not like the mountainous areas on Montesano or Green Mountain, so
Okay, so there's a great plug. Go ahead and join the land trust for a measly $35, and then you can go see this property on April the 6th. Mm-hmm. We can go to the website and find out more about that.
Absolutely. You can go to the website and join, and you can also find out about the current events that are scheduled all the way through April.
Okay. You also said something about a bird blind.
Oh, yes. Look at us.
We get excited about this bird blind.
So we worked with the Cornell Lab they gave us grant funding to build a bird blind. We had no idea it would be as absolutely awesome as it is.
Thanks in big part to all of our wonderful volunteers.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got volunteers who really headed up. They do everything from native planting around the site to actually maintaining the bird blind.
And that's at Chapman Mountain.
That is at Chapman Mountain. And it is a phenomenal place for migrating birds as well as resident birds.
Which migration's starting any day now.
As we speak, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to access, too. It's only maybe a couple hundred yards from the education pavilion there. So,
okay. So you said you have 10 properties, most of them in Madison County.
Correct.
Okay. Let's play name 10 properties. Can you name them? I bet between us we can all name them.
Oh, the preserves?
Yeah.
Yeah, the preserves, right. Can.
You start.
Okay. So, Rainbow.
Yep. Wade Mountain.
Okay. Chapman.
Harvest.
Oh, you skipped Hickory Cove.
No, because I'm still up there.
Right, I skipped Harvest. Whoops. Sorry.
So, Harvest, Hickory Cove.
You said Chapman, right?
You said Chapman.
I said Chapman.
Who's on first?
And then Montesano.
Yep. Blevins Gap.
Mm-hmm. Green Mountain.
Bethel Spring. Is that it?
Okay, move west.
Colbert County. So there's King Creek. And there's Bradford Greenway. Bradford Creek Greenway.
Bradford Creek Greenway.
All right. If you didn't catch all that, or if you don't have a good mental map in your brain, there is one on the website. What's your website?
Landtrustnal.org.
Okay. And I looked, and there is a wonderful map that tells you all those places.
Is, yeah. Thank goodness, because it sounded confusing.
You can click on any of those preserves, and it gives you a trail map.
Yep. We've got PDFs of all the trail maps, and if you're a member, there's another good reason to become a member, then you can have a map on your phone that shows you with a little blue dot exactly where you are.
Oh, nice. Nice. How is all this financed?
Great question. It is financed through our members, individual and corporate members. We also get grants and funding from local corporations and foundations in the area, as well as national foundations.
See, I told you those office people are important.
Very much, yes.
And let's say I have a piece of property that I would really like to see preserved.
Great question. You would come to us and we would say yes. So there are a number of different ways to do that. We receive land through direct donations, through conservation easements, life estates, and we also do purchases of property, as long as it's not over appraised value. All of those properties would have to go through a process to determine their conservation value.
Okay, so just any property doesn't meet the requirements.
Correct.
But if you're interested, you have some property that you know has some value in the way of conservation, and you don't want to see it developed,
Absolutely.
Then the land trust can help you with that. And I was also interested in what you said about working with the state with Forever Wild.
Yes. So we partner with Forever Wild quite a bit. If we find a property that needs to be purchased, maybe it's bigger than what we can do, we'll partner with Forever Wild and they will purchase it. And then we can agree to manage it and build trails on it if it can be opened.
Okay, Kate, let's talk about these pollinator gardens.
So we have two different preserves right now that currently have pollinator gardens in place. That's Blevins Gap Nature Preserve, which is just off Cecil Ashburn. Jennifer will share about that some too as well. But that's a large
pollinator garden.
It's actually a little bigger than an acre. And it's a combination of plantings with native pollinators, including trees as well. And we've put out seed. Everything up there has been native, and the seeds that we've put in place have been native. Now, that being said, we are still fighting invasives and other things that have come in to that area. But we've got a wonderful group of volunteers that has been helping us with that. And our other pollinator garden is on a much smaller scale at Harvest Square Nature Preserve. We have raised bed gardens, and we also have some seeded areas that we've plowed and seeded. So we're really excited about both of those locations and the new habitat that they provide, as well as future educational opportunities to the public.
Okay, now we're speaking to my heart.
Oh, yes.
Because here at the library, we have the library garden, which is meant to be a demonstration garden for native plants. We have a butterfly garden. I mean, literally in the shape of a butterfly.
Yes, yes. We took some inspiration from the garden here as well.
Okay, well,
In some of our design. I think one of our landscape designers, Anna Bright, helped us lay out a design. And originally, her goal was to lay out a butterfly design for the raised beds at Harvest Square. We didn't have enough space to accommodate that. But in the Hugel Culture Mound, which we will be building, that will be in the shape of a butterfly as inspired by y'all's garden.
Okay. Well, and I've just been out there this morning working some and cleaning up the garden for spring. And it's so wonderful to see the things you saw bloom last year, they're coming back.
Yes. I've had that same sort of joy of going back to the pollinator garden at Blevins Gap and at Harvest Square. And I always have dirt under my fingernails. So.
And of course, we had some freezing weather this year. And I don't see any evidence of lost plants this year.
Right.
If anything, it's the rosemary, and the rosemary is not native.
Right. So. We did lose some during the drought last year. That has been especially hard on our trees at Blevins Gap, but most of our other plants we were able to water enough.
Great.
And one of the things that Kate hasn't mentioned about Blevins Gap, which is one of my favorite things, is it has the most beautiful sunset in Madison County.
Yes.
No, that's not official, but that's my opinion.
No, I've heard that from a lot of people, including photographers.
Yeah, I've seen, when I go up there, there's always a photographer. I've seen engagements up there.
Yes.
I've seen expectant mothers having pictures made. I've even seen a bride or two.
Yes.
And sometimes you'll see friends that have made it a date night. They'll gather and they'll bring a picnic blanket and maybe even do some painting and artwork while they're up there. It's just very inspirational.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places to enjoy with friends and family outside of work as well.
And not that far away for us, probably 45 minutes to an hour.
It's a great entry into being outdoors. A lot of people think nature can be scary, but when you go and sit and watch a sunset or have a picnic, it's just a great way to be outside. You don't have to be a hardcore cyclist or, you know, a trail runner to do it.
Right. Yeah, and I'd say that's true for both of the locations where we have our pollinator gardens. They are really like entry access to the outdoors and to nature.
Okay. And I understand they started planting it on a cold day in January.
Yes. I'll let Jennifer. She was there for that.
I think it was frigid.
Yeah, that was
not the plan when we started, but we just had a few delays in getting all the bedding ready for the plants, and we wanted everything to be just right. So Susie Pline and I did take some plants home to our house and love on them through the hardest winter weather. And then had a beautiful sunny day in January, but it was cold up on top of the mountain. And we're able to plant over 750 native pollinator plants. And could not have done that without the help of all the volunteers that showed up then. And then we had a second planting day in March for the rest of the plants. So now we're in a maintenance mode. We're still digging in the dirt and making sure that the native plants are really thriving there, making sure they thrive. You were talking about cutting down the debris that's not living right now during the winter and cutting that down so that seeds can continue to go into the ground. And so we're really looking forward to the spring where we can see what is going to bloom and what's going to thrive. Continue to take care of it.
Okay. What did you plant? Name a few things.
Oh, boy.
A few of the 800.
Yeah, of the 800.
Well, I've got 89 species was the note I made. Okay, trees. What kind of trees?
So there's yellow poplar. There's eastern cedar.
Red buds.
What else?
Sarah maple?
Red maples. I think Susie mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Okay, shrubs. I remember summer sweet. She mentioned that.
I remember. Trees are my thing. Other stuff, I don't know.
Any oak leaf hydrangea?
No, I don't think it's suited for that site.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very sunny.
It's sunny, huh? No shade.
No shade, and there's almost constant wind.
There is wind up there.
And we are working with a pretty thin soil layer because the area where the garden is planted is the remnants from when the road was widened.
Oh.
So it's on the rubble that was taken down when Cecil Ashburn was widened, and a thin layer of what the highway department put down.
Okay.
And then we brought in additional soil on top of that. But the soil that we brought in was all nice and clean, but some of what came up underneath was not. That's some of our invasive battles.
So things like purple coneflower will grow.
Absolutely.
Yes. Black-eyed Susans.
Yep. Yes, black-eyed Susans.
And Monarda.
Yeah, they've been asleep for the winter, and my brain has too. So.
Right. Okay. Well, these are things that will grow anywhere, folks. I'm telling you. You put them in the ground, tell them good luck, and they'll come up and bloom. Okay. Where do we get native plants? I know there are dedicated native plant nurseries, but one of my favorite sources just for my yard has been the Huntsville Botanical Gardens plant sale.
Yeah.
So that's very local, and the Limestone County Master Gardeners will have a plant sale on April 20th, and there will be some native plants there. There will also be people to give you advice.
Mm-hmm. And to test your soil.
Testing your soil is, yes.
Which is really important.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? You bring your soil to them and they test it?
I think at our plant sale, yes, we will have someone testing. You can also send it off to Auburn.
And they've changed that program up a little bit, so I don't know the details, but you can go online to Alabama Extension Service and find out information about soil testing.
It's best to dig up a little bit of soil, maybe in 3 or 4 different spots in your garden or your yard, and then let it dry a couple of days.
So it won't be so heavy when you mail it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Okay, Jennifer, let's talk about butterflies.
Ooh. That I can talk about.
Yes.
I feel like we have to mention Jennifer's shirt and accessories in this part of the conversation.
All butterflies, beautiful.
Well, I started out as an elementary teacher, and it's like Miss Frizzle. I feel like I have to dress the part.
You have on 2 different butterfly necklaces, butterfly earrings, and...
Yes. So I did start out as an elementary teacher where all my students had a little caterpillar on their desk with green mushed up food, and we watched the life cycle. So I knew about the biology of butterflies and the caterpillars. But when my husband and I became master gardeners, that's when we really started looking into what plants butterflies need, and planted it at the pollinator gardens, but in the yards, just all over. So we looked at nectar plants and host plants, and those are things I like to tell people about. Most of us have nectar plants in our yard.
Because that's pretty much anything with a flower.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be native. You know, nobody taught the butterflies just to go to the native plants.
Right.
Yes. Azinia is a wonderful nectar plant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And coneflowers. I also like to encourage people to plant host plants. So we all know about the monarch butterfly. So the monarch gets its nectar source from milkweed as well as other flowers, but it lays its eggs on milkweed. So we need to have
only milkweed. Pretty specific.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very simple to have fennel in your yard, which attracts black swallowtails. Also parsley will attract black swallowtails.
And I've had them on pentas.
Oh, wow.
Pretty flower, you buy it at Lowe's. Mm-hmm. It's the carrot family. It's all the same. Yeah. They're related.
It's just amazing to watch the butterflies lay the egg on that plant, and then it's just amazing to watch the life cycle as the caterpillar eats only that plant. It doesn't remove from that variety of plant, so it's not going to hurt anything else in your yard. And just give them that space to grow and grow and then form a chrysalis, and then you'll have more butterflies.
And the Gulf fritillary is a beautiful orange butterfly. It seems to me that's the one I see more than any other butterfly. But I do have its host plant in my yard, the passion flower vine.
Yes.
And as you explained to the group, it is aggressive. I try to give it something to climb up, but it generally climbs what I don't want it to climb, like my native azalea.
Yeah.
But they make these orange caterpillars that you can't help but notice. They're not camouflaged.
Right.
And they're a little bit darker orange than the actual butterfly with little black spikes.
And the birds don't like them because in nature, anything that's red means danger to the birds. Mm-hmm. So that's one way they protect themselves is with their coloring and the black spikes.
And some of them have eyes. Butterflies, as well as their caterpillar, have eyes.
They do. So the spice bush, I have several spice bush growing in my yard. And the spice bush swallowtail will lay its eggs on it. And then the caterpillars have these beautiful eyes, but they're not really their eyes. They're false eyes that scare away predators.
What if your pictures sort of look like Kermit the Frog's face?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I love looking at the caterpillars and just the coloring. They're so gorgeous. So having host plants in your yard will help you have caterpillars in your yard. And it's a great way to bring children into your yard.
Yes, thank you.
And educate them about the life cycle of the butterfly and how important it is. Mm-hmm. You mentioned passion vine. Passiflora incarnata is one of the native passion vines. There are other passion vines that are not native in the Gulf fritillary, and the variegated fritillary will not go to it as readily as it will the native Passiflora incarnata. But we don't see as much of it. When I was growing up on my grandfather's farm, we had it everywhere. Now that we're losing some of the farmland, we're losing some of the passion vine and some of the butterflies with it.
And it's pretty much a ditch plant. I mean, I know we have it growing between the garden at the library here and the creek. So if you're looking for passion flower vine, I can point it out to you just a few feet from the library. It's one of those natives you don't have to worry about it growing. It's going to grow.
And if there's a certain butterfly that you like, you can look up what its host plant is and you can start adding those things to your yard. Like I have some pawpaw plants, some dwarf pawpaw in my yard because that's the host plant to the zebra swallowtail. Mm-hmm. And I would love to attract some zebra swallowtail. All butterflies love, we haven't even talked about treating your yards. You know, all butterflies love the nectar source that comes from the early blooming clover that's in our yard.
And the dandelions.
Yeah, dandelions.
So think about it before you, I don't know, to me it's just you change your vision and you no longer want the green carpet that is a treated lawn, but the clover looks good. The dandelions, it's a beautiful yellow flower. So you just have to change your outlook a little bit to give those things a chance.
Yeah. And I think the pollinator gardens give you such a good example of what something will look like that is native and that you can put in your yard. It's
absolutely
a great way to learn what's
yes
out there.
That's whether you come to our garden or to Blevins Gap,
absolutely,
you can see how pretty they are and go, oh, yes, I want that in my yard.
Well, and it's like you mentioned about the garden here at the library being a demonstration garden. Mm-hmm. We want that. Education is such a cornerstone of our mission that we want to be able to provide that for people when they come visit our properties as well.
Mm-hmm. Anything else before we close? Is there anything we've skipped over? Anything you'd like to be sure gets mentioned?
I would just encourage you to check out the Land Trust website because there are other events that they have. They have lots of guided hikes, nature hikes, and the Three Caves concerts is one of my favorite things.
Yes,
they
do
have a special one just for members only. So invest that $35 for the year and you can be invited to participate in that.
I've been to one of those, the Three Caves concert. Boy, that was really cool. Yes.
And I think on that, you know, we're trying to do so many different things. So we've been focusing a lot of our conversation on the pollinator garden, but we've got properties that are former farmlands or active farmlands still. It's not just about hiking. And we're looking to extend that much more with the development of our Nature Discovery Center, which will be coming along soon, and we just looking to get more people outdoors, not just for hiking.
More people outdoors. I personally just am a happier person.
Absolutely.
When I spend more time outdoors. That's just true. All right. Thank you very much, Jennifer and Hallie and Katie. Thank you for telling us about the North Alabama Land Trust. We really appreciate it. And I want all of you to keep an ear out, see what else is going on with the Land Trust. Thank you. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Talking Dirty at the Library, a podcast produced by the Athens Limestone County Public Library in cooperation with the Limestone County Extension Office and Master Gardener Program. Join us next time to see where we're growing. And to hear other recordings from our Library Voices podcast series, please visit the Athens Limestone County Library website at alcpl.org.